Views and opinions expressed by the hosts are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of their employers. This podcast may not be suitable for children. Adults may find details triggering and/or offensive. Listener's discretion is advised.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. This is part two of the episode on Shanae
Wesley.
Wesley?
Wait.
How do you say it?
Did I say Wesley?
Oh, it's Wesley. Okay, wait. Cool. No, I think you've been saying Wesley. Welcome back to another episode of It's the Mystery for Me. Hi, everyone. This is Priscilla. I don't have my regular mic, so forgive the sound quality of this. But in part one, we just talked about Shanae Wesley, who she was. We know she was a doting mother, a young 20-something-year-old who went out to a party after being the type of person who really wasn't into the party scene. She gets home, and unfortunately, the most horrific thing ever happened. Shanae's home was set on fire with both her and her son Malachi inside. Unfortunately, she was pronounced dead at the scene. At this point, police have interviewed a few different suspects. First, her neighbor, who is also a firefighter, he happened to save her son Malachi, 3 years old, from the fire, but he also had issues with Shanae. Next, they interviewed her on-again, off-again boyfriend. They also talked to her friend Erin. Erin is the girl that she was out with the night before this happened. Next, they spoke to the three guys who Erin and Shanae had been interacting with on the line of the club and inside the club. These are the same guys that they had planned to party with after the club was over. However, Shanae decided that she didn't want to do that. So she dropped off Erin, she picked up her son Malachi, and she went home to get some sleep. So as far as the investigation goes, the police have finally looked at Shanae's phone records, and they notice a particular number appeared several times the day or days before leading up to Shanae's murder. Whose phone number is this? Somebody named Rodney, and that's where we pick up. This is the rest of the Shanae Wesley story.
So who is this Rodney person? Okay, so his name is Rodney Piper.
Rodney Piper.
Yeah. Some weird names.
I feel like Piper, Peter. Oh, maybe I was thinking of something. Who's the character when we're kids? Piper something picked a Piper picked a something a pickle.
Are you okay? Like, yes. I know what you're saying, but like
Peter Piper? No.
Okay. So, Shanae met up with Rodney at the club, but it turns out that she had known him years prior.
Okay.
So this is someone that was kind of like her, you know, booty call every now and then.
Oh, so they used to hook up.
They used to hook up.
Okay.
And they actually, I don't know if she invited him to the club, but they bumped into each other at the club. It seemed like they were texting beforehand, though.
Okay.
You know, she exchanges text messages with him, like, after the fact, like, oh, like, you should come over. This is a night of the, you know, the club.
Is this why she canceled on everybody else?
Yes, listen, it is.
I'm canceling on everyone else.
It is exactly what happened.
No,
that's literally, that's exactly what happened. She made these plans with him. She's saying, like, are you going to come over? And then he's like, yeah, I'm on my way. And so she, at this point, is like, I'm tired, everyone. That's why she canceled her plans with everyone. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, girl, get you some fun, girl.
But at this point, which is kind of confusing because, like, why did Erin not release this information? Because it seemed like Erin was in on it because when she was telling Rodney to come over, she basically told Rodney, like, bring a friend for Erin. But Erin ended up, like, going home. But, like, how would Erin not know? Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, how would Erin not...
I don't know.
Know that. I don't know. Yeah, so she apparently told Rodney, like, bring a friend for Erin. But I guess didn't tell Rodney that Erin... That she had dropped Erin home. And that Erin had, like, was just tired. It seemed to me that, like, maybe the plan was, like, Aaron would go home and come back.
Okay.
Maybe that was it. I don't know. Wait a minute.
So when he showed up with a friend?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. What? So that's what I'm saying. Like, it was, like, miscommunication.
Okay. Ooh, awkward.
Yeah, it was awkward.
Did the friend play with Malachi?
Malachi was asleep. Oh, yeah. Remember?
Malachi's three. Okay.
Yeah, he's asleep. So, okay. He brings over his friend named KB, assuming that Aaron was going to be there, right? So now it's a little strange because technically on the way there, Rodney and KB, they had stopped to get some alcohol. They pick up some vodka. They pick up some condoms. They're like, we're going to have a time. Yeah.
Dang.
So he actually gets into a parking lot, and it's funny because Rodney says that he sees the guys from the club driving around the parking lot.
Oh.
The three dudes in their car driving around. So, like, Rodney is, like, now in his car.
Yeah.
And he's just, like, waiting for them to leave because he's like, what the fuck is going on, you know?
Right.
He waits for them to leave, and then he and KB go inside, and he kind of, like, joked to Shanae, like, what was going on with that? Like, you told them to, like, not come anymore because I'm coming through.
Right. The jig is up.
Yeah, and I guess, like, they laughed about that. They were having a good time. They were smoking a little bit, drinking a little bit. At some point, Shanae, like, pulled him aside, and they go into her room, and I guess KB's, like, now
by himself
on the couch? Like,
damn, KB.
How did I end up here?
Like, down bad. He's down bad. Hey, at least there's, a TV. Right? He could watch TV or something.
I don't know. Kill time.
Well, he got his phone. It's 2012. He could...
That's true.
He could browse Twitter.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. So...
And Black Twitter be lit at night, so...
Yeah. In 2012?
Yeah. Every year. Yeah. 2022 also.
Wow. Okay. So, like, Rodney said, like, okay... Him and Shanae are basically hooking up at this point, right? And he makes it a point to say, like, they had sex. It was consensual.
Okay.
And then he makes a statement that I thought was strange. He said that at a certain point, like, I guess after they were done, or almost at the finish line, that he heard a loud thud at the door.
Oh.
And he's just kind of like, what the hell is that?
Right.
And so he opens a door, and then there's, like, a water bottle. And it seemed like KB threw a water bottle at the door.
Oh.
But by the time, like, he came out, like, KB was gone from the apartment.
Oh.
So it's kind of like, are you mad? Like, what's going on? But it seemed like he was just, like, irritated. And remember, he came with Rodney. Right. Like, Rodney was his ride.
Right.
So he's just probably like, what the hell?
But still,
that's kind of weird to throw a water bottle. But anyway, he says KB is gone at this point. Like, he feels bad. So he's like, I got to look for KB. And he actually, Rodney goes to his car. And he's waiting in his car for, like, a good 20 minutes for KB. I don't know if he's trying to call him. I'm assuming that he's trying to call him at this point. But he gets, like, no response. And basically, KB never comes back around.
Oh.
And so he ends up just, like, going home.
So where the hell did KB go? Because it's not like Uber was where it is today.
Exactly.
So
it's like, did KB really get that upset that he wasn't getting any and, like, just stormed off?
Wow.
Walking into night? Like, I don't know. But at this point, when Rodney leaves, it's about, like, 4:30 a.m.
Okay.
And Shanae, she locks the door after him. And 4:30 a.m., the fire happened around 6:30 a.m. There's that two-hour gap. Like, what happened, right?
What if KB didn't leave the apartment and he pretended to?
Okay. Well, you never know. Okay.
I mean, that's just saying.
No, that's a good guess. So, like, let's talk a little bit more about KB. Like, who the hell is he? So...
Tell us.
When Rodney's asked a little bit more questions about KB, it turns out he's like, I don't even know KB's real name.
What?
He's like, I just call him KB, but, like, I don't know his real name. Like, we would rob people together. Like, we would do robberies together. That's the way that he's saying.
Not him telling on himself.
Which was kind of weird. I was like, did I hear this right? Like, they did robberies together? But I'm pretty sure that's what he said. But meanwhile, he doesn't have, like, Ronnie doesn't have a record at all.
I mean, fessing up to robbery.
Like, why
is less time than fessing up to a murder?
No, of course. But I was just like, that's kind of strange. But I guess he was just trying to be truthful. He said, like, well, you know, KB does have this tattoo on him of, like, 69. I don't know if he said, like, where it was. Maybe it's on his arm. And so the investigators just try to go off of that. And,
what does this tattoo symbolize? I'm confused.
I have no idea.
Like, gang-related or Kama Sutra-related?
I have no idea.
Like, what kind of Sakura are we talking about?
I have no idea. I was wondering that, too. But they didn't really get into it. And I didn't see anything in the articles that really said anything about it. But the investigators use that information, you know, the fact that his nickname is KB, the tattoo, to look into the database. Okay. And they find someone that might be a possible match to this KB. They find, you know, a name. And it turns out that his name is Marquise.
So how you get KB from Marquise?
I have no idea.
Okay. People getting creative these days.
Mm-hmm. It turns out that Marquise was actually, he had just violated his parole.
Oh.
So they were looking for him as is.
Damn.
Yeah. So they were looking for him as is. He did have like an extensive criminal history that had to do with like, I think burglary. I think he spent time in prison in 2008. He spent like 2 years for burglary.
Okay.
About 2 years for burglary in prison. Okay. Now they're on the hunt for him based on the fact like, hey, we basically have a warrant for his arrest. You know, he's violated his parole. They're trying to figure out like, how do we figure out where he is because they can't find him at this point. Like he's missing, right? He hasn't talked to Rodney since leaving like that, just storming out. Ronnie had not seen him, had not heard from him.
What day is it now? Do we know?
This is day two into the investigation. So at this point, like, he hadn't, you know, like, he just kind of left KB to be by himself. But now, like, this whole investigation is going on. He realizes, like, okay, this is serious. Like, we gotta, you know, I'm gonna cooperate and see, like, what's up with KB. So he does that, and there's an arranged phone call that's made, and so they're able to get KB's, Marquise's, location, and he's actually at his girlfriend's house. He's at his girlfriend's house, and it's, I think, it's 25 miles away from Marietta.
Okay.
That's about, like, I think it's 42 minutes of a drive.
Okay.
So that's where he was at this point.
Speaking of drive, last week when you said the Gary, Indiana case where it was like an Indiana to Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah.
Someone wrote in, shout out to this person, and said that it doesn't take an hour to get to Gary. It actually takes about 25 minutes-ish if you take the right path.
How fast are they going? Because I Googled it.
I know, but listen, Google be lying. This person lives there. I'm going to trust them because they do the commute.
Okay.
Baby.
I'll take your word for it.
I think her name's Cecilia. Shout out to Cecilia giving us this info. Yeah, feel free to write in anytime and let us know. You know, actually, sorry. It was like, 20 to 25 minute from Gary via expressway. Yeah. And it says here it would reach south suburbs and south side of Chicago in approximately 30 to 40 minutes at the most, largely depending on traffic.
I relied on Google.
I know, but Googling our friend. Our listeners are our friends. So thank you for correcting us.
Thank you. Yeah,
much appreciated. So back to what you were saying about my bad.
Okay, so hopefully it is in fact 42 minutes, but I just know it's 25 miles away from Marietta. Okay. And specifically where his girlfriend was is Hemet, California. I don't know. But detectives at this point, they're just, you know, surveilling the residence. They actually, like, not too far from there, they find Shanae's missing car. Remember I told you her car was missing?
Shoot. They find it near his girlfriend's house?
Yeah, about like 1.6 miles away.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
Oh.
So in a church parking lot, it was random. But I guess like they were probably canvassing the neighborhood, which makes sense, you know. And the weird thing is the condition of the car. So driver's seat, the fabric was completely cut off.
Oh.
Of the seat, which was strange. Apparently, there was like splatter kind of on the door handle.
Like blood?
Of like, no, of like clear liquid that shows like someone was probably trying to use bleach to get rid of evidence.
Oh.
That's what it looked like to one of the detectives. And he's like, I've been doing this with stolen cars for like 15 years.
Yeah.
And usually when people steal cars, they're not going to those lengths of trying to remove that kind of evidence or tear up the inside of a car. They just leave it as is. So to him, he's like, this doesn't just look like someone stole a car. It looks like someone trying to cover something else up.
Oh.
And they bring him in for questioning because, well, okay, so he's technically arrested because he violated his parole. And he's questioned while he's arrested. They want to know, tell us about how the night went, you know, because we're hearing very different stories. We want to get your side of the story. We already talked to Rodney, and we want to know what you have to say. Marquise / KB basically insinuated that they were having a threesome, or
Excuse me?
Was talks of a threesome. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so he's giving a completely different story. He said specifically that he had gone into the room first with Shanae.
Oh.
And that he did not use a condom. He said that he left his shirt on, which was kind of like a weird thing to say.
Right.
And then after he was done, Rodney went in.
So that's not a threesome.
So I was just kind of like,
train. I'm kidding.
I mean, you're kind of right, though. But I was just kind of like, no, that's literally what I was thinking. I was like, this is not what I imagined.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, Rodney went in after he wasn't in the room. Like, I was so confused by that.
Wait, but
that's
the way that he was. All consensual now from this point of view?
Like, he was playing it out to be that it was consensual.
Okay.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. This is the way that he described it. He's like, it was consensual.
I don't know, because, okay. Interesting.
It's possible, right? And he said that, okay, Rodney went in after him, and he was taking a very long time. And so at this point, he was, like, knocking on the door. Like, right. Why are you taking so long? He said he was, like, sitting there for a while. And at this point, he just wanted to leave.
Mm-hmm.
But he couldn't because he didn't have a ride home. Right? Again, not the time of Ubers. It's 2012.
Right.
And he came with Rodney. So he said at this point he was just, like, irritated and just, like, dipped. But he definitely made a loud enough exit that they heard him leave.
Yeah.
And he said he flagged down some random white guy named Ernest. I'm not kidding.
Ernest.
These names, I don't know. This episode is really...
Wow. Okay.
Some random white guy named Ernest who was kind enough to drive him home.
He's lucky he wasn't a serial killer.
Yeah.
Ernest?
Yeah.
I don't know, y'all. Just the name alone gives me the heebie-jeebies. I don't know.
No, I just wouldn't put people in my car regardless. I just don't trust anyone. But you remember, actually, Dad, our father, did give someone a ride randomly.
He did?
Yeah. Someone, like, flagged him down, and he felt bad, and he drove them.
Where did he drive them to?
I want to say the train station.
Now I gotta text Dad. I'm gonna text my dad and say, hey, Dad, have you ever given a hitchhiker a ride before? My dad is so used to me texting him random questions. He's still going to be like, why are you asking me this question? Like, what's wrong?
But he's also going to answer the question. Yeah.
Everyone in my family just knows, just answer the damn question and ask me later what's wrong. What's wrong is everything. Anyways.
But exactly your reaction, like Ernest.
Right.
The detectives were not buying it. They're like, who is this random dude named Ernest? Like, come on. That's the best you can do.
He should have went with something like Tom.
Yeah, like
Jerry. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Cartoons. Okay.
So they're not buying it, so they just get straight to it, and they're like, tell us about the car. He's kind of like, what car? What are you talking about?
Oh, right. Okay.
And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And they're like, tell us about her car, Shanae's car. And he's like, I don't even know what her car looks like. Like, what are you saying?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, that's funny because we found her car like pretty close to your girlfriend's house. Actually, it's 1.6 miles away.
Ooh, got him.
And at this point, like, this, they do show this part in Murdered by Morning. And he is bawling. Like, he starts putting his hand on his head like this. And he just starts, like, freaking out. He gets up. He's like...
Okay, it's so insane.
It's insane. He's covering his head. He's holding his head with his arms above his head.
Heck no.
And he's just like, he's losing it.
Ooh.
Okay.
Wasn't made for this life, was you?
And he then said that he lied about taking the car because he didn't have a ride, right? And he would have been up front with them and told him that he took the car. But now he's freaking out because he knows that this girl is murdered.
Yeah.
So he's like, it looks bad for me.
Right.
Which actually does look really, really bad. And you can see how, like, this is how, you know, it's possible for innocent people to get caught up this way. So
innocent, but he did steal a car.
I
get what you mean. Like, stealing a car is one thing.
Yeah, murdering someone is another thing. But
completely different.
But did he do it? So, you know... Let's get more into the story.
Jeez.
He said, okay, I did take her car. And matter of fact, like, I stopped at Walmart. And they were able to get the Walmart footage. And he was actually at Walmart, like he said. But he was at Walmart buying certain things, like bleach, an X-Acto knife.
Oh.
Just things like that. And it was at 7:50 a.m. in the morning, to
be
specific.
Do Walmart employees ever be like, what is this? Like, you know, if you're working at a store, I'm just curious. Someone comes in and they're buying this kind of stuff.
I'm sure people have, like, employees have thought, like, this is kind of weird.
Yeah. If it were me, I would just try really hard to memorize their face in that moment.
I know
probably
you would.
Write it down in a booklet as I'm looking at them. Because I know how, like... off ID can be like facial ID. So as I'm looking at them, I would have a special notebook right there. And I was a cashier before, but I don't remember anybody buying any weird stuff. And I worked at Kmart. I mean, if it were me now, I would have a special notebook and I would just start jotting down things about them. Or, you know, I have my phone, so I would just start writing things down. Because I just know facial recognition, just ID by picture is like so rough. You know what I'm saying? Like, meaning it's not always accurate. And like my professor did a whole experiment. Remember I told you about it in my evidence class, how he had some girl come in, sit down. And I noticed her. I thought she was out of place, but I didn't think anything of it. And I just was like, whatever. But then class started again. This was during our break. We got a 10-minute break. And like it was like an hour and a half or 2-hour class. Okay. So during that break, she came in. Then class started up 10 minutes later, and he makes it a point to point her out and say, hey, you're not in this class. And I thought, this is weird, because this is a class of, like, 200 people. Does he really know everybody? It was, like, 3 weeks into the semester. So I just thought, wow, this is a little hostile.
Mm-hmm.
Indian man, by the way. Amazing. And he was on Jeopardy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's really smart. Really smart. I shouldn't say he's Indian, but I'm pretty sure he told the class he was Indian. But really smart dude. He used to be a federal prosecutor, everything. Okay.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yes. So, and he was super young. He had to be like maybe 40, if that, teaching evidence at Georgetown Law. Okay.
Wow.
So he makes this whole scene. Like, what are you doing in this class? Like, are you lost? And she's like, she gets up. She's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I think I am lost. And she leaves the class. We're all like, what the F? Like, it was just so weird. And then he, like, starts talking regular again. I'm like, all right, whatever. And then one of the slides is like, okay, I want you to tell me everything about the girl that was just sitting in the front row, who I asked, like, you know, are you in the wrong class? I was like, what?
What?
And, yeah, and he was like, I want you to describe what she was wearing, what she had on, like, what she looks like, this and that. And we were all so sure. I was sure I knew how she looked like. I was like, oh, I got this in the bag. We were all wrong. And it was his, like, wife's best friend. He had asked her to come in that day.
Wow.
Yeah. But it was trippy. But he was trying to bring attention to the fact that, like, hey, like, photo identification or just, like, in-person identification isn't as accurate as people think. And this is me telling you as a federal prosecutor, like, a former federal prosecutor.
Wow.
You know, you get to see firsthand and it, like, it really changes your idea about, like, being able to recognize someone, because you think about adrenaline and how that could affect you. Now, I'm not saying everybody's wrong. I'm just saying it's not an exact science, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
So there's a few red flags. The fact that he was buying these, you know, the bleach, the X-Acto knife. The fact that, like, why are you at Walmart at 7:50 a.m. in the morning?
Yeah, like,
that's a little strange.
If he was buying food or grocery shopping or something, I would be like, okay, sometimes you want to beat the crowd.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I feel like he should have tried to, like, throw people off by, like, picking up some broccoli, some fruit, some bread.
Like, not just specifically.
He specifically just bought these items.
Okay.
Nothing else is what I'm saying.
Okay, that's such a random combination, though.
Yeah. So at this point, they have two sides of story, right? They have what KB/Marquise is telling them, and they have what Rodney told them, too. So they go back to Rodney, and they're like, hey, this is what Marquise told us, like, the whole threesome thing. So, like, what's up with that? And he's like, what are you talking about? That never happened.
Oh, that's tricky.
So at this point, they're like, well, damn, like, who's telling the truth, right? Because, like,
that's
both.
That's such a random thing to lie about, too.
Yeah.
But some people are crazy like that, to lie to that extent.
It's just so crazy. So at this point, they're like, you know what? We're just going to get DNA samples from each of you.
Well, Marquise already said he didn't use a condom.
Right.
So what is getting DNA samples? I mean, okay, I understand, like, they'll be able to do an exact match, but as far as, like, figuring out who's telling the truth, okay, actually, it would help, because then Marquise would have really said, hey, I really had sex with her. But what we wouldn't know from that is whether or not it was consensual.
Yeah.
But it would at least prove that Marquise did have sex with her.
Yeah. And at this point, Rodney is saying, like, no, that didn't happen. He didn't have sex with her.
Okay.
Like, I was there.
Gotcha.
It was just me.
Okay.
He was out in the living room. Like, he left.
Okay, so what does DNA tell us?
So the DNA gets tested, and it comes back as a match to Marquise.
No.
Yep.
Okay, I have another theory now about this DNA stuff. You want to hear it?
Yeah, tell me.
Okay. Rodney didn't know that Marquise had sex with Shanae.
Yeah, that's what it seems
because
like.
Because Rodney left and Marquise came back. That's what I think. But let's keep going. That's what I think. Because that's the only reason I could see Rodney really, like, saying, I really don't believe this, other than the only option being that Marquise is lying. To me, it's like Rodney didn't see it happening, and that's why it is. But let's keep going.
Okay. So, yes, let's go. Let's rewind a little bit back to the early morning of October 31st.
Gotcha.
Right? So, according to Rodney's story, he leaves around 4:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? At this point, KB was gone too, right?
Right.
He kind of went after KB.
Yeah.
Waited for him for like 20 minutes and then decided, okay, I'm leaving.
Right.
After he leaves, Shanae locks the door.
Right.
Okay? And she goes to bed.
Okay.
But remember that we don't really know what happened with her car.
Right.
It turns out that there was DNA on her car that belonged to Marquise. So we know that he stole her car, in fact. Okay.
I mean, he did admit to it.
And no, you're right. I completely forgot about that, that part. So how did he get the keys to her car to begin with? So when, you know, they were in the room doing their thing, Rodney and Shanae.
Well, I thought he just hotwired the car, but I guess not.
No, he actually physically got her keys.
Okay.
So he was, like, so upset as he was waiting, you know, for them to finish doing their thing, that he was like, no, I'm trying to leave. I'm trying to bounce. Yeah. I don't want to be here, which makes sense. You don't want to, you know, it's not fun being a third wheel under those circumstances. So I don't know how he spotted her key, but she must have left it somewhere where he saw it.
Right.
And he took it. So he takes her key. He goes to her car. I guess he was probably in the parking lot trying to figure out, like, which car it belongs to.
Yeah.
And he actually sits in her car for a while.
Oh.
So he must have seen Rodney
looking for him.
Looking for him.
Dang.
Right? But he is waiting in the car, and Rodney leaves. There was no forced entry into the home.
Oh.
On her key was her house key, obviously. On her, her car keys, her house key. So basically what investigators believe happened is exactly your theory, that he waited for Rodney to leave.
Oh.
And he went back in.
Yeah.
unlock the door. She honestly, in her mind, she probably thinks it's Rodney coming back.
Right.
She's probably not even putting two and two together that Rodney doesn't have a key.
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm assuming that Rodney doesn't have a key. They don't, they're not like together like that where she would give him a key.
Okay.
But investigators believe that he basically attacked her in her sleep.
No.
Definitely raped her.
Ugh.
They're not sure how she was killed, though, which is interesting. They that came back inconclusive.
Damn.
They know that she died before the fire was set.
Okay.
But they don't know, like, what basically caused her death, which is very, very sad. But,
what made him go into a rage to murder her, though? Even I to don't, rape her? I'm like, bro.
I don't know. And the thing, he has a girlfriend at home.
Play your cards right, probably just get her number. You know what I'm saying? Like, some of these, it don't make sense to me. Rape never made sense to me.
It doesn't make sense. But the whole time, okay, here's the part that, like, really made me mad, is I don't know to what extent Rodney knows KB, because, I mean, he didn't even really know, he didn't even know his real name. Okay.
Right.
But did you not know he had a girlfriend? Because, like, why are you bringing
Sure he does. Boys do this all the time.
But that's just so grimy to me. Like, that's so grimy to me that, like, you're getting upset because you're third wheeling, but yet you have a girlfriend waiting at home for you.
It's called mental illness. That's what it is in these men.
It's so strange.
They want their cake and to eat it, too, and it's like, bro.
It is so bizarre.
You could have gone home to your girl.
It's bizarre to me. I don't know.
I'm actually shocked because, again, you said that he has nothing like this on his record, right? Meaning he didn't, maybe he never got caught for it. Maybe he has done something like this before, but not to this extent, and just never got caught.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, like, kind of shocking because, you know, just based off his record, it's not part of his M.O.,
right, exactly.
Rape or murder somebody.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, investigators were thrown off.
Yes.
Because they really were kind of like, okay, he stole the car, but, like, did he commit murder?
Right.
Right? So they were really juggling, like, is it Marquise or is it Rodney?
Right.
Could be either of them. But another thing that I meant to mention is that because they were kind of like, we don't know if it's Marquise or Rodney, what they wanted to look at is whether there were defensive wounds on their bodies.
Mm.
So aside from the DNA, they're like, if anything, like, there's definitely going to be a defensive wound on someone because they know that she was sexually assaulted and likely she was fighting back.
Sure.
So there was no marks on Rodney at all.
Okay.
There were scratches all over Marquise's body.
Ooh.
Which is weird because he did say that during sex he kept his shirt on.
Oh.
Remember? Oh, like, isn't that such a weird thing
to
that
say?
Yeah. Point that he made is kind of like, why are you saying that?
Digging themselves in this hole, trying to outsmart the cops, and it's like, bro, you ain't that smart.
So that was another thing. So they had the DNA, they have the defensive wounds.
Made him take off his shirt, probably to take pictures, and then they saw these marks.
Yeah.
Okay, wow. And what did he say? Oh, they like it was rough, that's why?
Yes, yeah, of course.
I can't.
Of course.
Uh-huh. I knew it.
Unfortunately, you know, Shanae is murdered in October, literally on Halloween of 2012.
Dang.
He's not sentenced until 2015.
Does he go to trial?
So Marquise / aka KB is charged with murder, attempted murder, which I didn't understand where the attempted murder
Maybe
came from.
Her son?
I was thinking, like, is it the son? But I didn't. I mean, that makes sense to me.
Did he know that her son was home? Maybe he'd even know.
Maybe I feel like he did.
He did, right?
I think he did.
Oh,
because,
wow, you're really sick.
Yeah.
Like, you're sick, but you're
I'm pretty sure she's like,
just went up.
I'm pretty sure she's like, okay, like, my kid is sleeping.
Yeah,
like,
or maybe when she's crying, she tells him that, right? Like, she's fighting him.
Yeah.
Like, my son is here, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely for the son. That would make sense.
Oh, gosh.
Murder, attempted murder, arson, vehicle theft. And then given, like, special circumstances, it was, like, enhanced due to committing murder during a burglary, right? Felony murder.
Oh, yeah.
He basically faced the death penalty.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So during a pretrial hearing,
I'm going to guess that he pled out. to avoid
there's a plea penalty. Agreement that the prosecution offers, and it's basically life without parole.
Right.
Life without the possibility of parole, and of course he takes it.
Right. Does KP have kids?
He actually has a son.
Wow.
He has a son.
Wow, the audacity.
And actually, KB was born in 1990. So he is like 31 or 32.
Right around mm-hmm. my age. Dang, yeah. He did this in 2012. He was yes. only like 22 when yeah. he did this.
Yeah.
I'd want them to study his brain and just understand, like, what made him go to this extent? What made him snap? Because yeah. That's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And being, so, you know, super young, too. You have yeah. a child. You have a son. And you're doing this to a mother whose son was in the next room.
Yeah.
Clearly, you set the house on fire, the apartment on fire, almost killing her child.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's insane.
It's crazy. So he received that sentence on August 7th, 2015.
Okay.
So he's currently serving life in prison without the possibility of parole.
Wow.
He has appealed in 2015. It was denied.
Of course.
But other than that one appeal, I didn't see anything else.
Good. Okay.
I did find this out based off of that podcast I mentioned. What is the name of it? Let me see. Always Time for True Crime Podcast.
Right.
I actually found a page where you could write to felons, and he has a page.
Stop.
Do you want me to read his bio?
Let me see it.
I'm not even kidding.
Can I read his bio?
This pen pal.
Oh, gosh. Please, let me read this to you.
Let Priscilla read it, because I just...
Okay. My name is Marquise, and I'm a 31-year-old Cancer. Being from San Diego, California, I like long walks on the beach. What beach are you walking on?
That's what I said.
What beach are you... Okay. Actually, I hate the water, and I prefer running over walks. Okay, that contradicts your first sentence, but we know you're a contradictory person, so I'm not even surprised. I'm an average Joe. That murders people? Okay. I put my pants on one leg at a time like everyone else, except for those times I got drunk and tried to do both legs and ended up with my pants on backwards and stealing a car and going to Walmart. I'm just filling out his bio the way it should come out, you know? If you don't think that's funny, then maybe you should drink more, but responsibly. Actually, Marquise, I think you should not follow this kind of advice. No. Seriously, as a lifer, my main focus is working on my appeal to get home to my son. But to reduce stress, I cut hair and make people laugh. It's a small joy to see people laughing and looking good under the circumstances. Simply, I am just like down-to-earth people who can converse is not a word, and share a joke or two with. I mean, how hard is it to form a sentence and say, ha ha, ? Yeah, it's really written like this, y'all. I'm not biased or phobic towards anyone, nor am I looking to be anyone's perfect anything. Just looking to give my energy, time, and kindness to someone who's willing to do the same with me. Is that what you want to give? Because you gave Shanae everything but that. Yeah. You gave the opposite of that. So mm-hmm. How can you offer that to other people? If you think this is you, then feel free to contact me by writing a letter or by downloading the free JPay app, looking me up, and let's take a chance together. Should I write to him?
Priscilla, do not.
Should I
no.
write to him? Should no. I catfish him? Just kidding. But, you know, this is actually very disturbing that he would even have a page like this. I know they try to, you know, normalize this for inmates, and prison is supposed to be for rehabilitation, okay?
But where's the accountability
but
in your bio?
But where is that? You know what I'm saying? And I just couldn't imagine, like, if you're going to put this, if you're going to allow them to have this, I want you to also put their court transcript here.
Yeah.
And make it so that people have to read it first before you read the profile.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but, like... I know Rodney mm-hmm. must be, like, messed up from this, too, because he brought this person
yeah.
into her life, right?
And I was kind of mad at Rodney because fine, you don't know KB that well, but you know him enough to probably know that something's off with this guy and that he has his criminal background. You must know something. Like, why would you bring... Why would you bring this as the friend to hook up with her friend?
Well, like, you know what? A lot of these guys, sometimes they be knowing, like, how these guys are with their with other girls, with their significant others, girls in general.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, these same people could pull the wool over your eyes and make you feel like, yeah, I'm a cool person. Like, I'm cool with you and stuff. But, like, you don't get to see the other side of them.
Right.
I think it's twofold. I don't know. But I do know people who have seen guys being abusive to girls and who have turned a blind eye to it. And to those people, I say, you are a damn coward. Okay? You are a coward. Because people will say to me all the time, you know, you could lose your life over this. People have tried to explain this to me. Especially hood dudes have tried to explain this to me and, like, why they wouldn't step in a scenario where they see something happening or if, like, I'm talking about a completely different situation where they see, like, someone abusing somebody in front of them. Like, their friend. Not a stranger. Their friend doing this, okay? And, you know, people are to say, you know, that's just, I'll handle it my way when I'm with him alone, but I don't really get involved. And I'm just like, y'all are cowards because I would be.
That's cowardly.
That's me. I understand there's different ways to operate under different circumstances. And, you know what I'm saying? There's street code or whatever. I just don't live by that.
I could never. I'm that bitch that I'm just like, if I see something, I say something.
Right.
And I was actually put.
MTA sign.
Well, don't pull no shit like that in front of me.
Norma is a tough cookie. I've seen it. She's definitely the type that's going to call your bluff. Like, if you say you got smoke for her, she's there asking you, okay, where is it? Where's the smoke? I want to see it. That's Norma. That's Norma for you. But I guess the conclusion of this case is he's in prison.
He's in prison. And obviously her family. Son? Yeah. Okay.
Oh, my gosh. So it's been like 10 years. So her son must be a teenager. Yeah. Like a young teenager. 13, 14.
Oh my gosh. The son is actually with the mom's sister.
Yeah.
Which... I was kind of confused about that. I was like, huh, I wonder why the mom couldn't, you know, didn't take him in. But, you know, there could be many reasons for that. But, yeah. Sure. So, Shanae's aunt has legal custody of the son.
Gotcha.
The mom, her family, her friends are obviously still very much distraught by this.
Right.
Because, and the Oxygen murdered by morning, this is a very recent thing. So, like, it came out, I think... It was shown May 2022.
Okay.
Her mother was basically saying that she feels very sad that Malachi has grown up without his mom.
Yeah.
And they do their, you know, do the best. I don't know. I didn't see anything about the dad. I was wondering that too.
Because Ryan King is not his dad.
No.
Okay.
No. It's not his dad. But I was wondering that too. I was like, huh. So like, okay, like the aunt got legal custody. Like, where's it? I was wondering where the dad was, but. Who knows?
And Shanae technically was not cheating on Ryan King that night, but he probably was like, oh, okay, so you just hooking up with somebody.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, they do it too, right? So time to get our lick back, ladies.
No, it's true. Hey.
This is like sad. Wow. This is like a very twisty-turny story. Yeah. I was not expecting this at all.
Her sister was kind of like, I don't know what would drive a person to do something like this.
Yeah.
And it's just concern as to Marquise's psyche. Like, what would drive him
to go
to this extent, wait in her car for Rodney to leave just to go back inside?
It sounds very premeditated.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, no, it literally does.
Yep. But that is the end of this week's episode. It's a long one, too.
Yeah. So now you know how it ends, unfortunately.
That's right. Next week is Labor Day, so we will not be back with a new episode on Tuesday, but we will be back with another new episode next Tuesday after that. So, you know, stay tuned. Let us know your thoughts in the comments. Let us know your thoughts via reviews. Hopefully I didn't interrupt Norma too much today. And... Oh, someone did ask us also in the reviews, like, why don't you guys play the 911 calls? And Norma read the Jahlia Davis call so horribly and this and that.
Understand.
And
I'm like,
But, okay, the legal reason we don't read it is sometimes it's read on shows, and so it's, like, it's almost like a copyright issue. Like, the show is playing it, so it's, like, it's, you know, that's why I always say what the source is, but when mm-hmm. it comes to actual recordings,
yeah,
you could just open yourself up to legal stuff if you use recordings without permission. Now, if we had found the recording online and it's, like, on a public forum, it's a little different. Mm-hmm. I didn't find it on a public forum, though.
Yeah.
So it's like a lot of the stuff I saw was like it was through something else and it was a little harder to obtain it that way. But if I can find any in the future, I'll go ahead and we'll play it for y'all. But just know, like, there's a legal reason. You feel me? Mm-hmm. There's a legal reason. And I don't want to like prematurely put it out because I'm thinking, oh, it's going to sound good on the podcast. And then it opens us up to like legal issues and mm-hmm. liability and things like that.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why we often read the 911 calls versus playing them. And that's it.
Oh, well, y'all, that was not my case. I'm pretty sure Priscilla was like, can you read it?
Yeah, I told you to read it.
Okay, and it's like, so it's don't like, come
for
me.
It's choppy. Sometimes it's choppy, me, you so know? It's fine. But anyways.
It wasn't my episode.
That's the end. Yeah, so we'll see you guys Tuesday the 13th. And until then, stay safe, keep your head on a swivel, and stay away from people named KB whose real name is Marquise.
Yeah, if you don't know someone's real name, that's a red flag.
That's a red flag right there. Mm-hmm. Wait, but why did he bring her over? Like, why did he bring her in? Like, why'd he bring him in her home?
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know this person is sketchy. Why would you do that?
I don't know. Again, you know what? You know, people show people different masks. I'm sure he showed Rodney.
Yeah, look at his bio for his, you know, pen pal.
Yeah. I mean, he's delusional.
Yeah.
So he probably...
Manipulated.
You know, very manipulative, probably charismatic,
mm-hmm.
very easy to pull the wool over people's eyes. And... Yeah, we just hope that Shanae's family gets, you know, the peace that they deserve and that her son is doing well.
This is one other thing that I wanted to say about, like, her mom, like, actually got a tattoo on her chest that says, keep on singing my song.
Aww.
And that was something that I don't even know what song that is, but it's part of a song that is Shanae's favorite song.
Oh, okay.
That lyric she got tattooed on her.
Okay.
I just wanted to say that, you know, something that her family, well, her mom did to keep her memory alive.
Right.
And then, like, a year later, they also had a memorial service. I think that lyric service.
Is from Christina Aguilera's album.
Oh, really?
The strip
You know
album.
What? That was her favorite artist. Okay. So that makes sense.
That kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Momo's asleep in the background. And it's time for us to sign off. And we'll see you guys, or we'll talk to y'all. In a little bit, right? We'll what talk do you to mean? Y'all on the 13th.
Okay. Yeah.
What do you mean, Norm? Okay. All right, y'all. Bye.
Bye, guys.